You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
In a news cycle overwrought with sensational headlines, the less interesting bites don't enjoy as much bandwidth. But then that is why we're here, to give you a well-rounded perspective of the important developments that can in some way interest or impact consumers of services and products. This is a Money Control podcast called Digging Deeper, where we dive deep into the government's plans to rationalize various levies being imposed on the service providers of the telecom industry.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Broadband for all.
The catchphrase is broadband for all. As was reported by various news outlets, the cabinet last week approved the new telecom policy, or the National Digital Communications Policy, that's NDCP 2018. This, according to DNA, is significant in view of the country moving towards the next evolution in technologies. And yes, the focus happens to be on broadband for all. News agencies cited Telecom Minister Manoj Sinha, and we quote, "Emerging technologies like 5G, artificial intelligence, machine-to-machine communications and Internet of Things called for a new consumer and application-centric policy. The government aims to improve the reach of telecom services and applications riding on the network," unquote. So what exactly is the new National Digital Communications Policy 2018? News sources inform that the new telecom policy has been formulated in place of the existing National Telecom Policy 2012 to facilitate India's effective participation in the global digital economy. The policy has listed out targets for the next 5 years, and modalities will be decided within a year. First things first, Telecom Commission, to start with, has been renamed as Digital Communications Commission. An Indian Express report outlines the key features of the policy in this manner. The policy hopes to provide universal broadband connectivity at 50 Mbps to every citizen, provide universal broadband connectivity at 50 Mbps and 1 Gbps connectivity to all Gram Panchayats of India by 2020 and 10 Gbps by 2022, ensure connectivity to all uncovered areas, attract investments of $100 billion in the digital communications sector, train 1 million manpower for building new age skill, expand IoT ecosystem to 5 billion connected devices. Now, what is IoT, or Internet of Things? Express elucidates, and we quote, "The Internet of Things is a network of physical devices, vehicles, home appliances, and other items embedded with electronics, software, sensors, actuators, and connectivity. Now, this enables these things to connect, collect, and exchange data, creating opportunities for more direct integration of the physical world into computer-based systems. IoT results in efficiency improvements, economic benefits, and reduced human exertions," unquote. Another goal is to establish a comprehensive data protection regime for digital communications that safeguards the privacy, autonomy, and choice of individuals. Express adds, and we quote, "In this way, it will enforce accountability through appropriate institutional mechanisms to assure citizens of safe and secure digital communications infrastructure and services," unquote. The policy also hopes to facilitate India's effective participation in the global digital economy. Among the chief goals of the policy, DNA adds, is to create 4 million additional jobs in the digital communications and to also ensure digital sovereignty. The revamped policy also hopes to improve India's ranking, which, by the way, is at 134 currently in the Information and Communication Technology, or ICT, Development Index of the International Telecommunication Union, and that's the ITU for you. Now, the aim is to bring India in the league of the top 50 nations in this index within the next 5 years. At the core of the policy is the Telecom Department's plans to reform the licensing and regulatory regime to spur investments and innovation. Now, this is apart from, as DNA puts it, promoting ease of doing business, a review of levies and fees, including license fee, spectrum usage charges, and the definition of adjusted gross revenue, that's AGR, and rationalization of universal service levy. There is also a plan to rationalize license fees on fixed line revenues to incentivize digital communications," unquote. The report quotes Harsh Walia, associate partner Khaitan & Company, according to whom the framework seems to suggest, and we quote, that Department of Telecommunications, or DOT, is looking to revamp its image of a revenue monger to a business facilitator as charges, taxes and levies may be rationalized. In particular, spectrum usage charges may now only reflect administrative costs, and this will be a breath of fresh air for the industry whenever implemented, unquote. There is another perspective by Rajan S. Matthews, who's Director General, Cellular Operators Association of India, that's COAI for you, who says in the report that the most important and urgent requirement is to restore the financial health of the sector, for which the policy document envisages the reduction in levies and ease of doing business. This, according to him, will help the industry in achieving the goals and fulfilling the objectives outlined in the policy. The keynotes of the policy. The DNA report says the policy aims to recognize telecommunication services and infrastructure as an essential public utility. We quote Walia in the DNA report. This will not only aid proliferation of telecom services, but also facilitate low-cost financing. The industry today is facing one of its toughest phases, and low-cost financing is the need of the hour for most service providers who are languishing in debt and unprecedented losses, unquote. The significant point is that the policy reforms come in the context of a long-standing demand of the telecom industry for reduction or rationalization of levies, because operators have been adversely affected by the domination of the key player here, that's Reliance Jio. The competitiveness in the sector post Jio's entry has affected mobile tariffs, profits and margins, and says the DNA, the industry has been sitting on a cumulative debt of around 5.6 lakh crore rupees. In a nutshell, NDCP aims to increase high-speed broadband penetration with the use of modern technologies like 5G and optical fibers at affordable rates. A money control report says that the provisions to adopt optimal pricing of spectrum may ensure sustainable and affordable access to digital communications, since high spectrum price and related charges have been the main concern of the telecom services segment. A reality check. The Hindu Business Line, however, analyzes the flip side of the new digital communications policy and says that it fails to address the sector's core issues. The report says that the National Digital Communications Policy 2018, approved by the Union Cabinet, does not have any fresh ideas in terms of addressing the issues being faced by the telecom sector. We quote, while restating the centre's intent to address the problems, it neither spells out how it plans to achieve the stated objectives nor gives a specific time frame to implement the various proposals. Broadly, there are four major issues plaguing the telecom sector that need immediate attention. First, the industry is going through a financial crisis, as a result of which as many as five operators have shut shop. Overall debt burden of the remaining players has burgeoned to alarming levels due to expensive spectrum auctions and a huge reduction in cash flows. Second, telecom consumers are no better today than they were two decades ago when it comes to quality of services. Call drops, unwanted telemarketing calls, patchy data networks and unfair practices to get users to pay more are rampant. To make matters worse, consumers do not have access to a reliable and neutral complaint redressal mechanism. Third, public sector companies in the sector continue to languish under high manpower costs and red tape. Fourth, there is a big worry over the huge imports of telecom equipment and devices at a time when India's trade deficit is ballooning, unquote. Old wine in new bottle. The new policy, says the business line, acknowledges problems, but almost all the solutions offered find mention in earlier regulations and vision statements. Some of the major targets listed in the 2012 policy are still to be achieved. We quote, for example, the minimum broadband speeds are set at 512 kbps at present, even though the 2012 policy had envisaged minimum broadband speeds of 2 mbps by 2015. The 2012 policy had also set a target of achieving 70% rural teledensity by 2017. In reality, the rural teledensity is just under 60%. Instead of delving into why these targets were missed and how things can be improved, the National Digital Communications Policy 2018 lists out more and new targets, unquote. The report opines that rather than restating old mission statements, the centre should have focused on putting together a roadmap explaining how it will execute these initiatives. When addressing the issue of reducing financial burden on telecom operators, the policy merely restates, says the business line, that the plan is to rationalise government taxes and levies, apart from giving critical infrastructure status to the industry. We quote again, "The reality is that these proposals have been pushed by the Department of Telecom for several years, only to be blocked by the Finance Ministry, which so far has seen the sector only as a non-tax revenue generator for the exchequer. If the centre wants to really prepare the country's telecom sector for the upcoming digital revolution, it must go beyond giving mission statements to ensure that the vision translates into reality on the ground." Unquote. A historical perspective. Even as we analyse the latest developments, a look back at India's telecom evolution offers some interesting perspectives. In 2017, a piece in nationalinterest.in narrated how India's telecom industry has been through a paradigm shift over the last three decades. Writer Prashant Pandre offers a brief overview of the telecommunications market and observes that the industry has also undergone significant policy and regulatory changes through the years, in a sense leading to a control of market share of services by a few players. But it was not always so. He recalled how in the early 90s, the telecom sector was dominated by the Department of Telecommunications, or the DOT, which was the sole service provider. We quote him, "The first whiff of reform came about in 1994 when the sector began a transition from a monopoly to a competitive structure. Now, during this period, beginning with the deregulation of the sector and followed by the issuance of two major policy instruments, the National Telecom Policy 1994 and the New Telecom Policy 1999, the transition to a competitive market-based structure was successfully accomplished." Unquote. As was inevitable, he says, the dominance of DOT as a sole operator subsided with the entry of a number of private operators in various services such as fixed line, mobile telephony, international long distance and internet service providers. Telecom licenses, he adds, were allocated by the DOT through auctions at a circle level, with the country divided into 23 circles. In most cases, each circle represented a state. Each circle was allotted two licensed operators. The piece recalls that the market for fixed telecom services was highly concentrated, and the existence of a telecom regulator in the form of TRAI, that's Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, that too acted as a check on service providers abusing their dominant position. We quote, BSNL, that's Bharat Sanchar Nigam Limited, made substantial progress, reduced tariffs, improved efficiency, and it can be argued that this was entirely due to the force of competition leading to efficiency gains. The transition for BSNL from a monopolistic firm, which had a previous history of being impervious to consumer demands, to a firm that adapts and responds to market competition, ultimately led to providing a surplus to its consumers. Unquote. The subsequent growth of the mobile services industry was phenomenal, narrated the piece, and it all began in 1997. The government, informs the writer, followed a policy of managed competition by licensing more than one service provider in a telecom circle. In fact, a majority of the 28 telecom circles that were present at that time had at least 4 to 6 service providers. We quote, "The private mobile operators grew on new and latest state-of-the-art technologies. Entry of a new player, that's Reliance Infocom Limited, in 2002, saw the introduction of CDMA, or Code Division Multiple Services." I bet you didn't know that one, or rather didn't bother to check what CDMA really stood for, but there you go. Anyway, the CDMA services were introduced across 17 circles on a countrywide basis. CDMA has since been growing faster than GSM. The existence of the two standards have made both the markets for GSM and CDMA services very competitive. This is especially so when the market for CDMA services was highly concentrated, with just two service providers accounting for almost the entire output. Unquote. Every telecom operator was assigned certain portions of spectrum to use in India through auctions and administrative allocations. Essentially, the spectrum bands and frequencies around a particular band were then auctioned off, says the piece, and adds that the years of 1998 and 2004 saw two rounds of spectrum auctions, with major shares being grabbed by the existing players. We quote, "Later in 2008, the government's policy bypassed the spectrum auction process, leading to controversies. The government's move of selling spectrum by way of a first-come, first-served basis rather than by auction and fixing of prices based on 2001 prices was alleged to be an outcome of the nexus between a few dominant players and government representatives. The result was that major frequencies were captured and held by a very few number of operators, and in some cases even by few non-serious telecom players, leading to hoarding of spectrum." Unquote. These controversial auctions are well documented and led to legal snarls and the eventual cancellation of spectrum licenses. The ensuing bad blood, losses and stagnation led to upward revision of prices, consolidation and smaller players exiting from the industry, according to the writer. Early gains. What we are reaping today are the fruits of the National Telecom Policy of 1994 and the New Telecom Policy of 1999 that, according to the piece, set up the blueprint for opening up of the telecom sector in India. We quote, "The pace of growth and the achievements in terms of statistics have been quite spectacular, with an average addition of 18 million subscribers every month contributing nearly 2% to the Indian GDP and a tele-density of 84%, the Indian telecom industry is considered to be the second largest telecom market in the world. Intense competition in the sector eventually led to government intervention in the form of setting up of a regulator, that's Tri4U, by a special act of parliament. With more maturity in a sector and an aim to provide stable and equal opportunities over disputes, the Telecoms Dispute Settlement and Appellate Tribunal, or that's the TDSAT, was set up," unquote. Since all the service providers were new, says the piece, their competition was more in terms of price and conditions of sale, and of late, these two aspects are much in public scrutiny thanks to the timely intervention on various occasions by the regulator. As the article rightly points out, the penetration of mobile telephony in rural areas turned the farming communities into the biggest beneficiaries, and banking and other reforms like financial inclusion were also made possible with the telecom revolution. The writer astutely says, and we quote, "The telecom industry in India started as a monopolistic regime controlled by the DoT and gradually transformed into an industry flooded by private players. Today, it's an era of consolidation and may likely see existence of only few players. And if this indeed happens, then the industry may have literally come a full circle," unquote. The takeaway is that the regulations have played a significant role. And as the writer says, the government started off as a market participant and transitioned to a facilitator and then further as a regulator. The telecom communication and the setting up of an independent regulator in TRAI, according to the writer, were significant as TRAI made it a mandatory provision for all the players, private players, to provide a certain percentage of services in the rural areas under USO or Universal Service Obligation, and further opening of the sector and introduction of mobile telephony led to penetration in rural areas, taking tele-density to a record level of 84% today. The piece says, and correctly so, that the entry of a new entity with disruptive technology again is making the merger and acquisition space quite active. We quote, "The industry currently is at a very interesting stage, and one has to see whether this consolidation will again lead to concentration of the market by a select few. However, it can be said without doubt that the consumer has been the biggest beneficiary," unquote. Will the consumers continue to be the biggest beneficiary, or will dominant players restrict the array of choices available to them, is another question that only time will answer. And of course, you can expect a podcast when those answers come to us. Thank you for listening.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.